And things went well over at Heritage Baptist, but I missed you guys. We do have several announcements in the bulletin. They're there. You can see them. You can read them. One that is not in the bulletin yet is a little more information about the XYZ Lunch and Learn coming up on the 19th. 2 years ago, a lady from Sharp Funeral Home came in and explained the pre-planning that they do for families. And she has a new presentation, but she'll be coming on that Thursday, the 19th, for our Lunch and Learn. We're going to have our XYZ Luncheon and also include her. There is no cost. There's no obligation. It is just stuff that you need to know or will need to know when you have a death in the family, stuff that you will need to handle or be aware of and what processes are. And it doesn't tie you into Sharp Funeral Home in any way, shape, or form, and it isn't just for Michigan. Most of the information you have sticks with Michigan, but in other places also, these are the things that need to be considered. Some of them you need to have answers within 24 hours, et cetera. And having thought about them ahead of time is a help. Again, many of you will remember her having been here. Same lady, Cheryl, will be here on the 19th at our XYZ luncheon, the adult luncheon, and she'll be giving us more information on that. Any other announcements? I would ask that you pray for the Schultz family as they're working through the situation right now with Mr. Schultz's mom is not doing well and is not expected to last much longer. I have not had any updates today or yesterday, but I know that Friday there was a comment about that. Any other announcements or prayer requests? Hi, Jan. Okay.
I need you to pray for me that God would help me because I've been dealing with too much stress.
Okay. Jan in her life.
I'm so angry.
Mm-hmm. Peggy, you said you have a praise?
Yes. I don't know how many of you know, but in our Sunday school class, I was just asking for your praise for a friend that has seizures all the time, and she found out she's got a brain tumor. They might have to get some of the brain. She had a certain amount. But she didn't really want me to, but I laid my hand on her and asked if I could, I laid my hand on her and prayed for her, and her tumor is shrinking.
Well.
She told me today. They said at the hospital.
Amen.
So. Okay.
That's only God.
Amen. And it's only one that can do
it. Yep. Very well. Let's pray. Father, we come to you as your children. We are adopted, grafted into the church, born. Lord, as we come to you, we recognize that you are continuing to work in our lives. You find areas that need to be cleaned, that need to be changed, that need to be removed, areas where we need growth, areas where we need to pay attention to some of the things that are developing in our lives that should not be there. And Father, you bring many different tools into our lives, people that we like, and sometimes people that we don't like, to produce what you want in our lives. You are our master. You are our Lord. We ask for your grace to deal with these things that you have brought into our life well. Thank you for the praise that Peggy is able to bring, the concerns that Jan has. We ask for your calm, your strength. For the Schultzes and others that are dealing with the aging and the dying processes, Lord, I ask for grace in their part, strength. Thank you for the knowledge of those that already are believers and that we will see again. Help us as we focus in on our Bible study, our time together in praise and prayer, a message that you will give us the grace and love to be a body worthy of the name, the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Time for our memory passage review, 1 Corinthians 13, out of the New King James. You can take use the Bible there in front of you, or if you have the paper, we're going to stand and read it out loud together as we work on our memory work, both so that we've put it in our head and we've put it where God can use it in our hearts. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13, please be seated.
Yesterday, some of the men went up to Vassar, and the speaker was exceptional. And so asked some of the guys about that. And but tonight, I'm not speaking. Pastor John's not speaking. Mark's not speaking. Tonight, we have a missionary, Elise McIntosh, and she is going to South Africa. And she taught Sunday school this morning. I hear it was a good time down there. And But come on up, Elise, or Ellie, whatever.
Thank you. I was going to sit on that side of the room, but evidently that's not what we do here. Do we have possibly that clicker? Is it back there? Okay. I have had an absolutely delightful day so far with you guys. I really enjoyed being able to share with the women during Sunday school. Thank you. And I had lunch out with a lot of you and just really, really enjoyed my time. And I'm very excited to share with you a little bit about myself and about the ministry that I will be joining in South Africa. I grew up in a Baptist pastor's home. My dad pastors in Livonia, Michigan. And even growing up, oh dear. I hit the wrong one. He even warned me what buttons not to push, and I already did it. Growing up in a pastor's home, I was surrounded by the gospel my entire life. I went to a church that is very missions-minded. We have a big missions conference that's the highlight of our year in October, and I always loved it, but I also always knew that I never wanted to be a missionary. I actually remember when I was 12 or 13, I had a conversation with God after one of these missions conferences, and I told God that if he was going to force me into missions, then it was going to have to be somewhere like Europe, because it's a little more posh and comfortable, and I was absolutely not going to Africa. God, in his grace and mercy and humor, is sending me to South Africa, and I could not be more pleased. As surely as I knew that I never wanted to be a missionary, I have known that I always have known that I wanted to be a teacher. I love working with kids. I feel like that's where God has gifted me. It's what I'm passionate about. And so that was always my goal. And like I shared in Sunday school this morning, I am a planner. I know 10 steps down the road. It never works out the way that I planned it, ever. But even though nothing that I planned over my life has come true, God has proven himself to be faithful over and over and over again. And I am beginning to understand that I need to trust him and hold my future in an open hand and simply be willing to go and do what he wants of me. Since I am a teacher, you have to take a quiz this evening. Don't be scared. You're not going to be graded. But I put together this 10-question quiz to give you a little bit of a picture of South Africa and some of the struggles that they're facing. So I don't know how boisterous you are as a church, but feel free to yell out if you think you know the answer. I mean, you don't have to yell. You can call out the answer. We'll get started. Which of the following countries does not border South Africa? I am horrible with geography, and if I did not have the answers to these questions, I would not be able to tell you. But what do you guys think? I heard it. Good job, Zambia. Oh, there you go. That's not fair. South Africa is at the very, very base of the continent of Africa. And it's bordered at the north by four different countries, and it completely swallows up two other countries. You see them in the yellow there, Swaziland and Lesotho. What is the famous mountain in Cape Town called? Anything? You got it. Good job. She said Table Mountain. There you go. It fits right in. South Africa is a beautiful and diverse country. You have places like this in Cape Town that have coastal regions and mountainous regions. You have the more dry and arid regions, or the bush. That's where I will be. So feel free to send me hats and sunscreen, because this redhead needs it. What is the main language of the government and national unity? English. You thought you got it, but you didn't. It is actually English. Yeah, I know. The women have a leg up on some of you. I'm sorry. I am really excited that it's English, because that means that I do not have to do any type of language training. Once December 9th hits, I get to get on an airplane, and I get to jump right into ministry in South Africa. You will also figure out in a little while why I'm so excited that I get to speak English. Are there hunters in Fenton? I don't even know. Do you like hunting? All right, this question is for you. In South Africa, they have this thing called the Big Five, and it is the most desirable animals to hunt, the most dangerous animals to hunt, and it is a big part of their culture. What do you think it is? You leaned in the wrong direction. It's actually bee. The buffalo always kind of throws me off. Yep. Nope. It's not. They are very dangerous. This Big Five concept is such a big part of their culture that if you look at their money, they don't have dead presidents or big people in their country's history on them. They have the Big Five. And I've got some examples out on my table if you want to check them out, but I just thought that was interesting. Who first established a permanent presence in the southern tip of Africa, in South Africa? Good job. Right. So Because the Dutch colonized South Africa, there is a very large population of white South Africans. You think the continent of Africa, and most people think completely black nation, I'll be the only white person there. I won't be. The South African population, the white South African population, is rather large in our area. This is why you will understand why I'm so glad English is a main language. How many official languages? You are correct. 11. South Africa is known as the Rainbow Nation because it has become the safe place for people of all different nationalities and tribes. Bordering countries that have gone through wars and things like that, people would immigrate down into South Africa for safety. If you are a white South African, what do you speak? Speak Afrikaans. What else? And English. If you are a progressive South African, you will also speak a little bit of Tswana. Tswana is the main black language. If you are a black South African, you speak English. You speak Tswana, the main black language. You speak your tribal tongue. So if you're a Zulu, you also speak Zulu. And then you also speak Afrikaans. Because of South Africa's history, the blacks were oppressed by the whites. They were forced to learn and communicate in Afrikaans for much of their South African history. So if you are a South African, you are multilingual. And I'm really thankful that I can be a lingual, single lingual? I don't know. I don't know what that's called. Who was inaugurated as the first president of a fully democratic South Africa, May 10th, 1994? Yes, that's an easy one. Not Morgan Freeman, though. Definitely Nelson Mandela. He is akin to a god in South Africa. He passed away about a year ago, and there are monuments to him. His birthday is a national holiday. This man is known as the person who unified the blacks and the whites in South Africa. There is still definitely a lot of racial tension there, but because of Nelson Mandela, a lot of that has dissipated, and it's getting better. I'm not going to say that he was the most amazing man. There is definitely some sordid things in his past, but he did definitely bring some good things to the nation. Here we get a little into the problems that we're going to encounter in South Africa. What percentage of South Africans are unemployed? It's 26. Which doesn't seem that bad, right? Except if you look at townships in South Africa. During apartheid, during the white suppression or oppression of the black people were expelled from the main cities. So you've got Pretoria and Johannesburg, very, very large modernized cities, and black people were kicked out of those cities. And they were made to live in what are called townships or tin shack villages without running water or electricity. And those are still there today. A lot of them. In fact, where I will be, we have two sides of us that are townships. We're bordered on two sides by townships. And if you look just at those townships, you see rates of up to 80% unemployment within those townships, which leads to a lot of things. One of the biggest problems is a very high crime rate in South Africa. And I know that there are connections between me and my family back home. So if you see any of my family, just don't tell them that part. Especially my mom. She doesn't need to know. That's one of the big problems that we encounter in our area in South Africa. And the most obvious problem that we face in South Africa right now is the HIV/AIDS epidemic. So what percentage of South Africans ages 15 to 49 are HIV positive? It's actually 17.3. That 17.3, I just lost my statistic. Oh no. It's a lot of people. that's really bad. I am getting old. I just had my 28th birthday. I'm feeling it. that 17.3% is a very, very high percentage, especially for that age range of 15 to, what was it, 45, 49. And your last question, what percentage of South Africa's 3.5 million orphans are orphaned simply because of this one disease? It's C, 60%. That's 2.1 million children, one disease, one country. And that is why Bethesda exists. I want to show you a short video to give you a little bit of a foundation of the ministry that I'm joining in South Africa called Bethesda Outreach. And then I'm going to pop back up here and we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about it. I'm going to ask something of you guys. I'm going to ask that you, for the next probably 15 minutes, stay curious. This is a ministry that I want to share as much with you about as I can. I love this ministry, but it's going to take a lot. It would take a lot of time for me to adequately describe everything that Bethesda is. So I want you to be curious. I'm going to leave a couple of minutes at the end to answer some questions if you have them. Have any of you been in an orphanage overseas? Have you? Can you describe it a little bit? What are the main things, or even, I mean, this is a question for everybody. What are the things, what are the images that pop to mind when you think of an orphanage overseas? Mm-hmm. Any other images that come to mind? Packed. Jan? Yeah, there's a lot of medical problems, absolutely. Absolutely. I see orphanages overseas as something that is, or a place that is doing their very best to survive. Overpopulated, understaffed, just making it barely day by day, a lot of chaos. That's what I see. And that is not Bethesda Outreach. We saw that model and thought that it's wonderful that there are people all over the world that are working in orphanages and taking care of the orphans, but we wanted to do something a little bit more intentional. We didn't want to take on the traditional orphanage idea, but we wanted it to be more of a permanent foster care system. We place kids into homes. Our heartbeat is to see these kids raised as disciples of Christ. If you don't remember anything else that I say tonight, I want you to remember that Bethesda Outreach, our greatest desire is to see kids that are going to serve God for the rest of their lives. And I'll get into that a little bit further in a minute. Bethesda is located in South Africa, like we've said, and we're actually in that little yellow province up there called the Gauteng province. It's obviously the smallest one, but it is the most densely populated, and it has the highest number of orphans within South Africa. And that's why Bethesda chose there to start this ministry. We have three main areas of ministry, and our biggest ministry is what I was just talking about, the Children's Village. When a child is brought to Bethesda, when an orphan is brought to Bethesda, they are placed into a home with a godly South African mother and a father and 8 to 12 siblings. They live together. It is an autonomous family, and the parents in that family have covenanted to raise these kids as their own and to raise them to follow God. In all senses, but legal, those children become theirs. These these parents are people that have seen the troubles in South Africa and have seen the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they want to pour that gospel out into the hearts of these kids. That's our biggest ministry. We have 6 homes right now, and we're taking care of between 60 and 70 children. And as finances come in, we build another house, and we fill it up with as many kids as we possibly can. Our second area of ministry is called the Hands of Mercy Ministry. We recognize that our little ministry cannot even scratch the surface of the needs in South Africa. We can't even meet all the needs in our surrounding communities. And so we reach out. We want to see local churches around us stepping up and realizing that their job is to care for the orphans and the widows. And we want to walk alongside them and teach them and train them to be able to have orphan care that runs out of their churches. So that's our Hands of Mercy ministry. We do everything that we can to partner with them. We use all of our resources to help them take care of the orphans in their, typically, their church community. And the last area of ministry that Bethesda has is where I get to fit in. It's Jabulani Christian Academy. Jabulani means rejoice, and it is a loud and fun and joyful school. Most kids in the States kind of groan that they have to go to school. It's not that way in South Africa because it's a privilege to go to school. So we have our problems, but kids are typically happy and excited to be there. Jabulani has 147 students this year, I think, which is huge. And you might wonder, well, if you're only taking care of 60 to 70 kids on your property, how do you have 147 kids that come to your school? We use this school as a means to reach out into the community and get outside of our gates to be able to share the gospel. So we have all of our kids that come to school there, and then we open it up to the kids in our community, and we give them a solid Christian education. Jabulani is a K-7 school. I will teach anywhere from K-7. I will teach anywhere up to 3 grades at a time, and it could possibly change every year. So, you know, I always said I was a planned person. Just kind of flies in the face of all of my planning. So you can pray for me in that way, that I will be flexible. This school is a great opportunity for us. We have seen many, many families come to know the Lord through the ministry of the school. We get to share the gospel in any way, shape, or form that we can during every school day. We have assemblies and Bible classes, and we do our best to minister to the kids that God has brought for us. I'm excited to join them. I'm very excited to join them. I think right now, out of those 147-ish students, I believe over 65% of them are from outside of our gates. So it's definitely a major part of our ministry. This is the hardest part of my presentation. When I was 19... I got to spend 6 months in South Africa, and I was young, and I was very dumb. I thought that I knew it all, and I absolutely did not. And I know that I shared a lot of statistics in the quiz, but I like to share this story with people because I've sat where you sit. I have heard countless missions presentations. I have sat through plenty of missions classes even at school, and I think statistics tend to sort of turn us off a little bit or overwhelm us. At least they did for me. It didn't feel real to me. It's over there. It doesn't touch my life, and therefore I can ignore it. So I like to share this story wherever I go. And about halfway through the 6 months that I was spending in South Africa when I was 19, I had friends of mine come and visit me, my friend and her mom. And they spent a couple weeks with me. And whenever we have teams or people come to Bethesda, we like to take them out into the community. We take them to township nursing homes and township daycares and churches. We like to give them a feel for our area. We don't want to keep them inside our gates. And one of the last places that we take them is a cemetery. So 3 months in, I had not been able to go out with any teams yet, but when my friends came to visit me, we got to do this tour, and I got to see more of the area that I was ministering in. And the last stop was this cemetery. It was a Friday, and in South Africa, you bury your dead on Saturday. So it's no matter when during the week your loved one dies, they are buried on Saturday. And so we walk into the cemetery, and it's, first of all, massive, and it looks like that. And there were probably close to 20 open graves ready for the burials the next day. And that in itself was sobering and overwhelming. And then we started talking to the caretaker of the cemetery. And he was talking about how crowded everything was getting and how they were going to have to buy more land to expand because it was just filling up too quickly. And as I had walked in when we first got there, I noticed to my left that there was a large corner of the land that wasn't filled yet. There was nothing there. And I don't know if you guys are like this, but I have this thing that I need to get out of my brain, and I call it my American fix-it part of my brain. And that took over, and I said to the caretaker, well, why are you going to buy more land? You've got this giant corner over here that you got nothing in. I wish that I could take those words back. And he looked very serious, and he said, that corner is very, very full. And I was very confused. And he continued, and he said, that is where we put everyone that is found on the street. That is where we put everyone that has no one to bury them. It's basically a mass grave. And that completely stopped me in my tracks. Because for the last 3 months, I had been pouring my life and my heart into these kids that for all intents and purposes should have been in the corner of that cemetery. I mean, you saw it in the video. One of our girls was literally thrown away. She was found in a trash can as an infant, as a newborn. And I went home that day, and as my habit was, I began to walk the property. And I typically would walk and I would pray through my day, think through my day. And as I'm praying, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm crying and questioning why and feeling hopeless, feeling completely hopeless and so overwhelmed by the needs in South Africa. And graciously, God gave me a peace as I continued to pray. And he reminded me of this. There is no situation beyond the hope of Christ, the hope that is found in the gospel. The situation in South Africa is not hopeless because I have the hope for South Africa in my heart. Why do I share that story with you? Do I share that story with you because I want you to feel uncomfortable or I want you to get emotional? I don't. I share that story because I want you to be gripped with the need for the gospel to reach the nations. It is very easy to sit in the States and not feel that urgency and not be impassioned by the gospel. And I want you all to feel that. I want you to understand that outside of Christ, there is no hope for any nation on this planet. But we have the hope for all of those nations. That's why Bethesda exists. And that's why I'm going to South Africa. So I want to ask something of you. Will you pray for me? I have a leave date now in December. And between now and December, a lot of things need to happen. And I am telling you this, raising support process has been the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And I need prayer. I need God's people to bring me before him and pray for me. Pray that I would have joy as the next, you know, months will most likely fly by as I prepare to go. Pray that I would have joy as I transition out of life here and transition to life there. You can pray for Bethesda too. There are a lot of choices that have to be made every day at Bethesda, hard choices, and they need your prayers. And then I would ask that you pray about joining my support team. I haven't updated this. I realized it when I set it up that I haven't updated this, but I'm at 65% of my support. And in the next couple of months, I need to get up to at least 85%. So you can pray that God would bring me to the right people, that he would be working in the hearts of people, that they would be willing and eager to join my team. I want to take a couple questions, if you have any, and I hope you do, and then I'll close it out. There is no persecution right now of Christians. Most people in South Africa would consider themselves Christian, but it's a nominal Christianity. The biggest issue in churches in South Africa is discipleship. You have people that believe that they are Christians because XYZ, and it has nothing to do with the gospel. So it's definitely not a nation that persecutes Christians, but it's you face different kinds of problems. Yeah.
Two questions. Where did you go to Bible college?
I went to Boyce College in Louisville, Kentucky. It's the undergrad at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. I got my bachelor's in biblical counseling there. Sorry, this is a mouthful. I got my bachelor's in biblical counseling, and then I went on to Indiana University Southeast for my teaching licensing.
Yep.
EVM was the mission board that was over Bethesda, and very suddenly they declared bankruptcy and closed. And I lost everything that I had raised, almost everything that I had raised up till that point. And Bethesda lost things too, because that's where all our money was flowing through, you know? So after EBM closed, Bethesda decided to become a ministry that was run by local pastors, but was technically an independent ministry. They didn't place themselves back under a mission board, but they have a board of men that are pastors in the States and pastors in South Africa that meet together regularly to make the big decisions for Bethesda. No. No, if you want to make this more complicated, which I do, I am actually with a mission board called Faith Global Missions, and it is a... Yes, they're not really a clearinghouse, though. They're technically a mission board that's run out of a church in Lafayette, Indiana. And my elders at my sending church were more comfortable with me having an actual mission board to report to. So I chose to go with Faith Global. They're a ministry that is very intentional about biblical counseling and things like that, and that's right along the lines of where I am, so we work well together. Any other questions? We have two curious people in this entire room. The ones at Bethesda, yes. The ones outside of Bethesda, not so much. South Africa is a very strange country because you have first world areas, like the main cities, that are just like here. Banks and malls and theaters and, I mean, anything you possibly want in the main cities. And 30 to 40 minutes outside of those cities, you have third world poverty. So within that third world area, there's not a lot of great medical care for anybody. But because, well, with Bethesda Kids, that's one of the things that we provide is good medical care. Yeah. Not really. If it was, it would come through Durban on the east coast of the country. But it's really not that prevalent in our area, at least yet. Any other questions? Jan? They have a lot. They've got Afrikaans, and they've got Tswana, and then a bunch of different tribal languages. Yeah. Tswana is very, very hard to learn. And I don't have to learn it, which is good. Yes, yes, absolutely. There's actually a language called Xhosa, and it's a clicking language. I mean, like, they, yep, and I can't do it. Yes, very, very hard to learn. Pastor Josh?
Is there a lot of other, I'm going to put this in a weird way, a lot of other Christian competition from, like, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses? Are they doing these kind of ministries? Or is this unique?
It's very unique. Okay. Mm-hmm. You don't see, there's, what is the Zion, the Zionist church, have you heard? It might just be a South African thing. That would be our main competition, but not necessarily in compassionate ministries. We are very abnormal right now.
So there's not many, like, Baptist-type orphanages?
Not that I know of. There are a couple of small, like, we know of a couple of ministries where a couple has been burdened to take care of specifically disabled children that have been abandoned. So there's a baby house by us that can take care of maybe 15 babies. But there's nothing, there's no organization that's bigger than that that I know of.
So there's only one Bethesda?
Right now, yes. The goal, the hope is right now, which is really cool. More than 60% of our funding is South African now. We started at 100% funded by the states, and we are moving towards it being completely run and funded by South African churches and people. Because our hope is not to make little Americans, but our hope is to keep South Africa in South Africa. And so we will eventually be able to turn this ministry over to nationals. The Americans would pick up and either go somewhere else in South Africa or go to one of the neighboring countries and start another Bethesda. Yep. Yeah. I can't answer that. I know it's Christian, but we also have to stay in line with whatever the government is teaching or is giving out to be taught. So we have some constraints, but I don't know if there's a specific actual curriculum that we'll be teaching. All right, one last question, then I'm going to end. Probably a good 6 hours or more. Yeah, it's a huge need. Sub-Saharan Africa is the hardest hit area with this epidemic. There is nowhere else in the world that has the kind of statistics that Sub-Saharan Africa has. And that's, it's their major earthly need right now. Thank you so much for letting me share with you guys tonight. Thank you for being involved and curious. I really appreciate that. If you want to keep up with me, over at my table, I have a newsletter sign up, and every month or so, I'll send out a link to my blog. Some of you have laughed at it already. It's A Redhead in South Africa, a WordPress. I'd love to keep in touch with you guys. Also, grab a magnet for your fridge. I am trying to get on every fridge in the United States because you all go to your fridges. And if you see me, you're likely to pray for me, and I need that. So stop by, chat with me, sign up for some information, some emails, and take my information and pray about supporting me. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your reminder to us that the things that we have, the things that we see, the things we touch and hold and grasp so tightly are all fool's gold. They have no eternal benefit. Our efforts, our works to amass and compile and collect things for ourselves are disobedience to you. Father, as Ellie has brought this and our hearts have been touched and our minds, I ask that you use us to be what you want us to be, both to the people here and the people there. Encourage us, Father, to set aside our wants, our petty desires, to be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mr.